Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Hollywood Improv Lab. Make some noise. You guys are in the right spot for comedy. That's right. And with that in mind, let's put our hands together for the creator and the host of Story Smash. You know her. You love her. That's why you're here. Please give it up for Miss Christine Blackburn.
Glad you're here tonight. We've had a crazy day. All sorts of stories coming in, like there was a car accident, and then somebody got food poisoning, and somebody's stuck in Malibu, which is, that's a first world problem right there. But nonetheless, we're going to have a great time, and I'm so glad you guys are here. So let's get right to the game and reveal the wheel of stories. There are 12 permanent topics on the wheels, you guys, and there's also one space that says free. If the contestant lands on free, then they can choose any topic on the wheel. There's also three spaces that say audience, and if the contestant lands on audience, then it's your opportunity to shout out your story suggestions, and then our expert judges will choose one of those topics. Are you thinking of stories? Are you thinking of things you might want to hear? All right, you guys, speaking of expert judges, let's get right to them. The guy coming up to the stage right now is not only the fifth, this is his fifth time playing the game, and we're so glad to have him back. It's Danny Zucker, you guys. Danny Zucker, he's an Emmy Award television writer and executive producer of ABC's Modern Family. But most importantly, like I said, it's his fifth time playing Story Smash, and his new book, he started it, chronicles his Twitter war with Donald Trump. Follow this brave American hero over on Twitter at Danny Zucker. Give him another round of applause. All right, you guys, coming to the stage right now is a comedian and an actress, and you have seen her on Girl Code, thank you very much, and Wild and About, that as well, on MTV. Wild and Out. And also, I know this, Last Comic Standing, so you know she's funny. You can find her on Twitter at Esther Cuckoo. Put your hands together for Esther Cuckoo. There she is. All right, you guys. And our final judge coming up right now, he's judged the show before as well. You know him as a writer from Mystery Science Theater 3000. Put your hands together for Matt Oswalt. By the way, that guy, you follow him at Matt Oswalt VA on Twitter. The three of you make up quite the Twitter powerhouse, I have to say. All right, look, you guys, we're playing three rounds of Story Smash tonight.
Okay.
So the first round...
We've been here before. We know how it works, okay? You don't have to...
They're going to tell a one-minute story.
I'm a Story Smash virgin. Please be gentle.
Thank you. Esther, the second round, they're going to tell a two-minute story. And then the third round, it gets a little trickier because our judges have to choose two storytellers from the five that are playing, and then those two storytellers will go on to tell a true three-minute story. And here's the thing. If they get too close to the allotted time, then they're going to hear this sound. There's going to be...
Wow.
And that is going to... That's going to end their story, and we're going to go straight to the judges.
Mazel tov.
You don't want that to happen. That's what I'm saying. All right, you guys. We've got five storytellers' names in this jar. And we're going to get right to it. The first storyteller coming to the stage to tell a true one-minute story is the one and only Eli Braden, you guys. Eli Braden.
All right, Eli.
Eli Braden. He's actually our returning champ, which is amazing. He's also a former Chippendale dancer who gave it all up to write parody songs for The Howard Stern Show. He's also written for Jimmy Kimmel Live, The Soup, Fashion Police, and Billy on the Street.
Don't forget Upload with Shaquille O'Neal on True TV.
That's right. And he currently
like Chips Ahoy dancer.
Writes a theme song. He writes the theme music for Joel McHale's Netflix show. And if you're not following him on Twitter, well, you are missing out. Follow this guy on Twitter at Eli Braden. And listen, you guys, we've got to tell him what to do.
Spin that
wheel.
All right.
There we go.
Big money, no whammies. Big money, no whammies. Yeah. And if you ever listen to the podcast, this is the part where it gets really awkward because you're just listening to this sound go on and on. Oh, fuck.
Wow.
I got to tell a story about the audience.
All right.
Oh, my God, audiences, am I right?
We are getting exciting right off the bat, you guys. So he landed on audience. This is not easy, you guys. This game is not easy, and it's about to get harder because you're going to choose what story you want him to tell. So throw out some suggestions. And
Parasicord.
Haircut? What else?
Liberty.
Puberty.
Liberty.
Puberty. Puberty. Virginity.
Puberty's good. Puberty's good. I got a good one.
I
love how you guys looked at Eli and were thinking virginity, puberty. Like, those are the things that came to your mind, you know? Not like...
I looked at him. I was surprised he knew how a wheel works.
Oh, my God.
Wow. Exercise bicycle much?
Hey, why don't you just fucking fuck me up the ass now and get it over with, Esther?
Hey. My pleasure.
My daughter's in the audience.
I'm sorry. Sorry, little Zooks.
She's 7.
Is it too late to abort?
A 30th trimester abortion.
So puberty. Is it pronounced puberty or puberty? I don't know. Puberty. My grandparents used to live in the same town as me when I was about 10 or 11, and they lived in a trailer. We were white trash in rural southern Illinois. And my grandpa, he was about 65, although in retrospect, when you see 65-year-olds nowadays, he looked like he was about 90. We're aging better, folks. That's what I'm saying. But my grandpa had a bad back from working in factories all his life, and he had this massager, which he would use in his back every night, and it was just like this little handheld thing, and the end was a cup. And I used to stay at my grandparents quite a bit, and I would use it on myself. Wow, time is running out fast. Long story short, one time I put it on my dick, felt really fucking good. I was like, wow, this feels good. What is happening? Oh, no, I gotta pee. I bolted to the bathroom. By the time I got to the bathroom, I had already, quote unquote, peed. And the pee was white. And it was a big old mess. And I'm like, why could I not stop myself from peeing? Also, the police, King of Pain, was playing when that happened.
Eli Braden, you guys. Eli wow. Braden. Danny wow. Zucker, what did you think?
I didn't hear anything since you said... same town as me, and it's same town as I. So I just, for me, I honestly don't know what you said, and I was just super taken out of it. My mom had a massager too, right by the bed. I guess she was sore.
I know
a lot. Okay, great story.
All right, Matt Oswalt, what did you think?
You know, Synchronicity 2 is a very underrated police album. So that's really all I got out of that story. I'll defer
Esther?
To our middle.
I'm just kind of confused. Do white people pee white or something? Because I don't know. No, I thought it was a cute story about puberty, and I love masturbation, so I give it 5 stars.
We're not using a star system.
Oh, I'm sorry.
But would that be the best for you, 5 stars?
It's 5 out of 30.
Oh, okay. I take that back. You don't know how many stars I'm giving you in my head. And...
all right, you guys.
No, I'm all about massage as well.
Okay.
I mean, not Eli massage.
Right.
Or his private parts massage.
You have a personal massager, though, don't you,
but,
Esther?
Yeah, I mean, I am a masseuse... because just my race, but... So we didn't have one of those devices. I had to learn how to masturbate from the faucet in my bathtub, so you're, you and your white people problems.
All right, Eli Braden, you guys, put your hands together.
Yay.
All right, more. This is hard.
Yeah, no, that was...
So Lucy Liu learned how to masturbate the same way, you think? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, she grew up in Queens.
Okay.
We're just alike.
White people masturbate too.
Go ahead. What were you going to say, Danny, about
No, I had something that I didn't come to a joke, but it really was racist. So I decided to just hold back.
You already started it,
nope,
man.
Nope.
Danny,
no.
Say it.
I'm going for a Nobel Prize. Next person.
All right, you guys, coming to the stage right now for a true one-minute story is Brian Finkelstein, you guys. Brian Finkelstein. Ooh. Brian Finkelstein, he's a regular performer at the Upright Citizens Brigade Theater here in Los Angeles, as well as the host of the L.A. Moth Story Slams, and he's also an Emmy-nominated writer for his work on the Ellen DeGeneres Show. I absolutely adore his Twitter feed, and you can follow him over there as well, at B.S. Finkelstein. All right, you guys, tell Brian what to do.
Spin.
Spin the wheel.
Bend
wheel.
Over.
All right, spin. Pets.
It's
pets.
Landed on pets.
All right. We used to have this dog Muffin when I was a kid. It was a half German Shepherd, half whatever the fuck, and it was a little bit weird. It chewed its own tail off. It had this disease where it thinks it has fleas. I don't know if this is true, but this is my parents told us that it thinks it has fleas. I have no idea how my parents would know this as I'm saying it, but they said it chewed its own tail off because it thought it had fleas, and so we found the tail, and it was this, like, bloody thing. And And I kept it in a shoebox in my room. And I would torment my brother, who I would like put in his room and say, like, Muffin, the ghost of Muffin is coming back to haunt you. And I'd put the thing in there and he'd freak out. And then it got like progressively worse. Like even in high school, we had this thing for a long time and it got progressively more and more decomposed till it was just like a thing that looked like a little like Tootsie Roll. And it had like still had dried blood, like a thing of red down the middle.
Wow.
And we used to put it in his car. In high school, and when he would go to school.
Brian Finkelstein. Wow.
Wow.
That was a vivid story.
Wow.
And also, I had a cat named Muffin.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so I'm like getting chills over there. What did you think, Matt Oswalt?
So did your brother take the red thing to prom or something? Where were you going with the whole car thing? I'm curious. How did that end?
My brother ended up going to rehab, and then later when he got out
because
of rehab.
Because of this?
No,
or
when he got out despite of rehab, of this? We had to have a meeting. And the meeting was discussing how we tortured him with this tail for he wow. blames me still to this day.
It was like an intervention.
LSD addiction.
Wow.
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 Wow, Brian, way to go.
I'm not happy about it. Thanks. Wow. So not only are the judges roasting, but now the audience is roasting too.
Danny Zucker, what kind of pets did you have growing up?
I had a Great Dane. I had several cats. I had a lot of pets growing up. What I liked about the story, though, for me was, are you the older brother and you tortured?
I am the older brother.
Yeah. So I had a younger sister who I also tortured and is, you know, she's desperately unhappy for the rest of her life as a result of it. So
we,
I related.
We win. We always win.
We win. Yeah. I actually once went into my parents' room. Like, she used to, whenever I talked to my parents, she'd always be like, what are you talking about? What are you talking about? You used to drive me crazy. So I came out of my parents' room and she was right there. She's like, what were you guys talking about? And I was like, wow, I don't know, I had this talk with Dad, and it's fucked up. And she's like, what? And I said, well, you know, he loves me, and he loves our youngest sister, but he just doesn't love you. And I don't know why I thought this was a good idea, because, like, I started walking away, and it was, and I just, like, 10 seconds later heard my dad scream my name. I ran out of the house. I've always been about as athletic as I look right now, and he was a real jock, so he caught me, and, like, I was huffing and puffing, and he caught me, and it was the only time my dad hit me. So there we go.
Do you think he's so mad
lucky?
Because it was true?
He totally hated her. She was an embarrassment.
Esther Koo, what did you think of the story?
Wow, this story brought me memories. Not that I grew up with you, but it just reminded me of the time I got toxic shock syndrome when I pulled out a bloody tampon that looked like the rat's tail. Not rat, I mean dog.
Oh, wow. Oh, wow. Is that still around? Can you still get that?
Yes.
I see.
It's made a huge comeback.
That's why I wear menstrual cups.
Oh, my God. All right, you guys.
No, it's better for the environment, and it's better for you.
Hey, save
no,
this the for girl code, okay? We don't need this here.
The parents use pets. Parents do use pets to manipulate children.
Yes.
My parents had a pet crab that they brought home from Lake Michigan, and we made it a pet, and then they ate it.
Wow.
Later. And then they were. Then I turned 10. They were like, "What do you want for your birthday? A puppy?" I was like, "No, thanks."
Brian Finkelstein, you guys, put your hands together. All right, you guys, coming to the stage right now for a true one-minute story is the one and only Laura House. You guys, Laura House. Laura House, you guys. She is the first female comic to perform on the first Native American stand-up show on FNX's First Nation Stand-Up. She's also written on a ton of shows, including the Emmy Award-winning shows Mom and Samantha Who and the George Lopez Show. And what I love most about this girl is her new comedy album, which I adore, and it is called Mouth Punch. You can find it over on iTunes, and you can find her on Twitter at I am Laura House. All right, you guys, put your hands together for Laura House. Tell her what to do.
Spin that wheel.
Drunk Tank.
In 1 minute. Okay. I was at a boathouse party that was like a naked party on a houseboat. And they threw rocks at me because I was like, I'll keep a shirt on. And they're anyway. And I was like, all right. And then we were in Austin. We were escorted off the lake by lake cops. And then my friend was like, fuck that, man. He was saying we didn't have enough life jackets. And then the when the officer was on board, it got real quiet because we all felt like we were in trouble. And my friend was like, Laura has big boobs. Maybe they count as a life preserver. And like, then we went to court because my friend was like, oh, fuck that, I'm going to fight the ticket. And in court, the officer takes the stand. He actually showed up like a dick. And then he was like, they were really drunk. They didn't have enough life jackets. And one of them said, Laura has big boobs. Maybe they can count as a life preserver. And that's all he wrote down. So it was actually dismissed because he didn't know how many life jackets we did not have.
Wow, Laura House.
That's my story.
Was a great story.
Another example of how big tits solve every problem.
You know, I hear it again and again.
That's a great takeaway.
It really is.
Yeah.
And this was all on a houseboat. You don't see that every day.
Those are the most racist of cops, by the way, the lake cops.
Lake cops, really?
super racist.
Easily distracted.
Okay,
I read your spec, Lake Cops of Austin, Texas. It's really freaking racist.
Oh my God. Nightmare.
What'd you think of this story, Matt?
That was like spoken word of a Bob Seger song, what you just did there. It sounded like something Bob Seger would sing about.
Going
to the lake and get, you know.
Maybe your boobs can count as a life preserver.
A lot of women in Texas have big boobs, so I would think that this has probably happened to numerous women in the, what lake was it? Where were you in Texas?
It was Lake Travis. We were in Austin.
Oh, Austin.
It's right in the middle.
Okay. Well.
Glad
you survived.
I guess us too, huh?
Yeah.
I'm glad you survived, you know?
All right, Esther, what was your takeaway here?
I like the naked party scenario going on. I would never go to one, but good for you because it's scary seeing a bunch of people naked and you getting naked yourself. I thought that was freaking scary.
Okay, so you were impressed by that.
I was very impressed with her freaking bravery. Everything out.
Yeah, my big brother was very mean to me, and I am now 10 years sober. So fuck you guys.
All right, you guys. Laura House.
It does make things bad.
All right, Laura House. Put your hands together for Laura House.
Yay.
Okay.
Congratulations on the sobriety, by the way.
Danny, this isn't easy telling a one-minute story, is it?
No, it's hard. I mean, try telling a one-minute story. Who can do that?
Well, these people can do it.
All
these
of them.
These people are very talented.
So far, two of the three have really been able to do it.
All right, coming to the stage right now is Melanie Maris, you guys. Melanie Maris. Woo-hoo. Melanie Maris is an award-winning writer and a comic and a storyteller, and she performs actually all over the world. She recently represented Indonesia in the semifinals of the Laugh Factory's Funniest Person in the World competition in Finland. What? There were like five countries in that one statement. The judges awarded this girl one of the highest scores for her performance because she's just that good. You can follow her on Twitter at Troubled Jones. All right, you guys, put your hands together for Melanie Maris.
Woo-hoo.
And tell her what to do.
Spin that wheel. I mean, that Finland comedy scene is like just popping right now.
I'm just.
It's the suicide capital of the world.
Finland?
Yeah.
Give us time. We're coming.
Vacation.
Vacation.
Vacation. We've all been on vacation. Just going to talk a little more over here.
Okay. All right. So my family lives in Indonesia, and my dad's Indonesian. My mom's a white American. I sound like Malibu Barbie because I went to an international school. So that explains everything, how I look, how I sound. And my elder brother got married in August. So I went to his wedding in Jakarta, and I took my boyfriend at the time with me. And my brother was so drunk at his wedding that he turned to me multiple times and he asked me, "Where are we?" And my brother fell on me at the reception of his wedding, and I couldn't get up. So I couldn't walk, so I'm going to the doctor, and it turns out that I fractured my ankle, I tore my meniscus in my knee, and I fucked up my ACL, and I got diagnosed with a rare genetic bone disease. This is hilarious. That was my vacation.
Melanie Maris. Wow. That is a crazy, crazy vacation. Matt, what did you think?
What is healthcare like in Indonesia? Like when you broke your ankle?
Oh, well, I ended up, I flew to Singapore, which is like an hour
what
and a half
away. What is healthcare like in Singapore?
It's amazing in Singapore. It's for shit in Indonesia.
Okay.
Yeah.
There we go.
Okay, Danny?
You should put that on TripAdvisor. So
I was wondering how you're going to end that story. And then you had the twist that I thought was so brilliant where you said, and that was my vacation. Just like whenever you're lost, just repeat it was sort of like I went to fifth grade with a kid named Stephen Schifrin. This isn't you. Your story was great. I loved it. You seem super smart. Stephen, not so much. But Stephen would like, he'd have to do something on Paul Revere. So Paul Revere would, you know, he alerted the people, one if by land, two if by sea, and he did a midnight ride. And in many ways, that's the story of Paul Revere. And that's, so I liked it. I liked that you landed the
she
plane.
She just buttoned it up, didn't
yeah,
she?
Yeah, you buttoned it up. You're great.
It sounds like me who had to do a 100-word report on, like Paul Revere, and I was at 94, and I had to turn it in, so I just, like, had to come up with some words to, like, you know,
figure six
it
more
out.
Words, six
so
more words,
six more words. Six more words. Okay, it's vacation. And that's my report.
When you said, and my brother got so drunk, and he turned to me, I was like, and he started, I thought you were going to say, and then he reached out to kiss me.
Yeah. Well, that was a different time. Asper.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm sorry.
It would have been a better story.
That was vacation. That was a vacation to the European.
Let's do a choose your own adventure.
All right, you guys. Melanie Maris.
Yay.
And the final contestant in the jar, I don't even have to look at the name because I know who it is. And you're going to love him. His name is Doug Mand, you guys. Doug Mand. He's written for television shows such as Crazy Ex-Girlfriend and How I Met Your Mother. Also FX's The Comedians and Adult Swim's NTSF SDSUV.
Oh, I love that.
I know, right? And he also hosts the really funny podcast that I love. It's called Duty Calls. You can also see his new film out right now called Most Likely to Murder, starring Adam Pauly and Rachel Bloom, on demand. And so follow this expert pooper. Who wrote this? On Twitter at The Doug Mand, you guys. Yay. Give him a big round of applause. Right. Applause. And then...
That wheel. Wow.
Breakup.
Okay.
This is going to be sad.
Sad than muffin?
Okay, so, and I was in my early 20s in New York. I asked this girl out who I liked a lot more than she liked me, and which was the case a lot in my 20s, and maybe all my life. And so we went out, and I really tried so fucking hard the whole day. You know, when you're just like, you're trying all your material, none of it's working. And I could just tell it wasn't working, and I was, the whole date was a sinking ship. And we didn't really see each other again, and that was fine. I understood that. A couple weeks later, I got a call from a friend and was like, "Hey, did you go out on a date with Lauren?" And I was like, "Yeah, how did you know?" "Well, she wrote a sketch about you and read it in class." And I was like, "She used my name?" And she was like, "Yeah, I used your name." And it was kind of fucked up, like, it, you know. And I was like, my heart just sank. So I called Lauren, and I was like, "Could you maybe next time just change the name?" And she was like, "Oh yeah, totally." And then she blogged about it with my real name and she blogged about the fact that I asked her to change it. And she just wouldn't stop. So you know what? Her name is actually Megan. That's her real name.
Doug Mand, you guys. Wow. Doug Mand. Wow. Esther, what did you take away from that?
Wow. At first I thought you were a nice guy, and then the rage was just beaming off of you. I'm filing a restraining order already.
Matt?
I've heard Megan Mullally is pretty vindictive, so I'm sorry that she got you, too. You
I will
know?
Not confirm or deny, you should, but you are right.
Wait, was it Meghan Markle?
No, let's not do this.
What a bitch. Her sister's right. I can't wait to read her book.
A royal bitch. Danny.
Yeah, I don't know. Women, right?
Yeah. Women be writing sketches.
Oh, my God. Yeah. No, that would be terrible. I secretly fear that everyone I ever dated, that I am their party story. Yeah. Like, you can't believe it. He cries when he comes.
Yeah.
You know, like something like
okay,
that.
Okay, Danny, I gotta tell folks, this is your fifth time judging Story Smash.
Yes, it is.
And this is the first time your wife is joining us.
Yes.
So give a big round of applause for Annette. Woo-hoo! Thanks for coming out.
Yeah.
And so now that she's here and you're here, how many girlfriends have you had?
I've had, few while we've been married, but prior to that, you know, I got around. I mean, look at this. You can't hide this light under a bushel.
Doug Mand, you guys, give him a hand. All right, all five names are going back into into the jar right now. I'm going to shake it up, and then the next round is going to begin, and the storytellers will be telling a true two-minute story, which, as you know, is double the fun. Yes?
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Okay. We're really glad you guys came out tonight, by the way. Thank you for coming out. Thank you for coming out. Remember, they could land on audience, and then we're going to involve you, so get ready for your time, yeah? All right, coming up right now to the stage to tell a true two-minute story is the one and only Doug Mand. Here he comes.
Oh, my God. So close.
Back to back. Wow.
You guys, tell him what to do.
That's just mean.
Spin that wheel.
Spin that wheel. There we go.
That was exciting, right, Doug?
A little doubleheader, Doug,
Is he supposed to do a counterclockwise?
So juice from before.
Whoa. Hooking up. All right. Hooking up.
Okay, all right.
What? What'd you say?
Yep, you got it. Just the two-minute version. So, all right. Okay, hooking up. So this is also a dating in New York story. I was bartending at this place called Arti Pasta, not important to the story, in West Village, and I had a date after my working time, I had a zit, and so I went to the bathroom during a break, and I tried to pop a zit on my lip, and I really tried really, really hard, and it wouldn't fucking pop, and I was obsessed with it, and it wouldn't pop. The date never happened, as most of my setups never did. And then I went to sleep that night. I woke up and my lip was super huge the next morning, and I was like, oh, I must have popped a blood vessel, but it got really, really bad, and it started to hurt a lot. So I went to the doctor, and the doctor said, this might be, you know, like, you might have popped a vessel, but it also might be a cold sore. He gave me Valtrex, and he also gave me Percocet because I was in so much pain. 2 days later, it had done nothing, and it had gotten a lot worse. I called my dad, and God bless this man. He lives in Philadelphia, and he was like, you don't sound good. He got in his car and drove to New York City, opened the door. As soon as he saw me, he goes, oh, when he saw my lip, he's like, oh, shit. Go pack your bag. You're coming with us to Philadelphia. So I hadn't been home in a while. I packed my bags. I went home. What I found out later is that my dad called while I was packing my bags to my sister and mother and was like, Doug's going to come home. His face is really fucked up. Do not say anything. We don't want to scare him. They took me to the hospital the next day, and I thought it was just no big deal. It turns out I had given myself a staph infection by trying to pop my own zit. Before I knew it, I was in hospital gowns on a wheelchair. I spent 4 days in the center for like infectious diseases. And I could have died trying to pop a zit in a bar because I thought I might get laid that night. And I didn't get laid that night, but I did almost die trying to do it. And that is a hooking up story for me.
Yeah, Doug Mann.
Yeah, very
That's
good.
A great
very
story.
Good.
Wow.
Scary.
Go ahead, Matt.
What was the sketch your dad wrote about this? Was it funny? That's the answer to my question, you know? Or do you do a web series? It sounds like more of a web series, I think. Yeah. Yeah, but okay. Very good story.
I have two questions. Sorry. First one, are you a virgin? And second one, do you want to make out? Here's my number.
My wife is here.
Call me, maybe.
And yes, I am a virgin. Oh, she's talking to Danny's wife.
Anal
I'm sorry.
Virgin.
Yeah.
Okay, so I had a friend who I always thought his story was super sexy because he broke up a bar fight in New York and got stabbed and has like a scar and he always talks about it. And I just want to say, like, your story is not sexy. That's all I'm going to say. Like,
it's
doesn't.
The opposite of that story in every way possible.
It's just not, it's not like a 9/11. You didn't rush into a building. No, you did nothing great in it.
Yeah, he could have done a sexy story.
Yeah, you couldn't. I wish you had sexed up the staph infection.
You know what? So did I.
Story.
Yeah.
But he thought he was going to hook up, Danny.
Yeah,
that's the whole point.
Trust me. No, I was sure that I've had these disasters. I'll tell you in another time. But it was great.
Did you have bad skin growing up, Danny? Because you have beautiful skin now.
Everybody says it, and I did. But I was on a date. So this is, so the worst, can I just tell a quick story?
Please.
40 seconds.
Earmuffs, wife, go.
It's the worst week in the history of my penis. And so I was at a, I just moved to LA. I had some roommates and we had a party and I met this girl and we just like sort of dry humped for a while. And then keep in mind, there was another girl I was really interested in. She's keeping that down the road. So we dry humped for a while. I woke up the next, nothing happened. I woke up the next day. It looked like a Slim Jim. It was so raw. I was like freaked out. I'm going to the doctor. On the way in, I zipped my dick in my fly, which is terrible. this unexpectedly, this girl says, hey, I'd love to go out with you, the girl I was interested in. And we're going to go out, and it's like, cool. And I'm like on the Paramount lot. I'm in the bathroom. I used to be able to smoke in bathrooms, and I'm smoking. And my move, which was a very smart move usually, was to just ash my cigarette in the toilet. Didn't quite work out. Popped my cigarette down, burnt my dick.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, so this is like all within 4 days. And then I had an opportunity to use my dick that night. Wow. I said, no, I really can't. And she's like, come on, it's fine, it's fine. And like somehow like opened up and she like, holy, like she thought I had full blown Z's or something.
Did
it was
she
terrible.
She say like, can I kiss and make you feel better? Dick.
No, nothing like that. She was thoroughly grossed out. Yeah. And then I went to my doctor and he said it was just
But your anus was okay, right? She didn't mind. Okay.
That's a whole other story.
There's lots of fun you can have with that.
Dead yeah. man, as long as your tongue works, we don't care.
Dead man.
Keep
put
your dick
together.
In your pants.
I will just add to that story though.
Wow.
A month later, the woman who would become my wife came out to visit me and it was all working fine.
Oh, that's good to know. Okay, great. We can confirm that. Okay, good to know. All right, you guys, coming up right now to tell a true 2-minute story is Laura House. Laura House, put your hands together.
All right, here we go.
All right, you guys, here she comes. Let her know what to do.
Spin the wheel.
Sorry, I yelled at you guys earlier. You're not my big brother.
No, we're not.
I will call him and yell at him.
School days.
Okay. When I was in junior high, I had my two best friends, Hillary and Diana, and we loved to get in dorky trouble. So one time we had a pie fight. My mom had made a pie, and I was like, "Who wants pie?" And then we go from like eating pie to like flip. Then there was just pie all over the house, and we had to like we cleaned it up just like immediately. Like it was like when we were done with like the high of the pie fight. Like, oh my God, that was so great. Oh shit, we've got to clean this up. And we went to town, and it, like everything was cleaned up. And my mom came home, didn't notice anything, or totally scot-free. And then I'm talking to my mom, and I set my hand down in the... It looked from a distance like a little piece of popcorn, but it was a little piece of pie. And she was like, lemon pie. And she was like, what's that? And I'm like, ugh. And then we're busted, because it's a little bitty piece. And one time, Hillary and I have two stories. What? Can I do that?
It's unconventional, but go ahead. Go. Let's see what we got.
Hillary and I.
Is it about Danny's penis?
Yeah. No, totally. It's like a Slim Jim. Don't take that off my time. I'm out. Okay, so I'm at Hillary's house, and we're like, when you're just like a suburban white girl, and you're just like, let's go walk to the convenience store. It's like 11. And so we're feeling tough. Like, yeah, we're just free. We're out of the house. And this cop comes by and gives us the what for. Like, what are you girls doing out? Where are you supposed to be? And we're just like, we just went to get some ice cream from the store. And yeah, it's dangerous. There's a lot of danger here. People are breaking into the house. Get in the car. I'm taking you home. And in the cop car, I was like, well, if people are breaking into houses, aren't we safer on the street? And he was like, well, nobody needs your smart mouth. And then we got in trouble, of course. And then Hillary's dad came in and tried to act like he was mad. You girls, this is a very big deal. Who cares? I'm going to bed.
All right. Laura House. Wow, that was a great story. Nice. I really, really felt myself, I was there, because that's what we did when we were kids. There was nothing to do, so we'd walk to the convenience store, we'd take spoons with us, we'd buy ice cream, and just sit there and eat it. Just, that's it. That was what we did.
That's baller. You feel
and
so
well, I did the same thing, and I was so, we were all so tough about it, too. Man, let's get our Motley Crue shirts on, our rat tails, and go to Tyson's Quarter Mall, and like hang on the food court, man, go to Orange Julius, you know? Yeah. And we just were all aggroed up and, like, you know, rebel with zero freaking cause and walking around just staring at women who won't even look at us twice. And
so was, you yeah. related to this story too, Matt.
I kind of did, yeah. Yeah, that was my childhood. White suburban punk thing, I totally relate to that.
Yeah.
And you're not a bad kid. So
we
like,
all have
around.
We have the angst, but we just have like the surroundings. It's just not really, you know.
And you know when he called you a smart mouth, I have a feeling that every comedian and writer in Hollywood has been called a smart mouth at some point in their life.
For sure.
I think it's a compliment.
Yeah.
I was waiting for the now. Me Too moment of the story when Hillary's dad is like, then he pulled his pants down. and spanked you.
Esther, taking it downtown.
I'm so sorry I disappointed.
First, Esther was upset that you didn't kiss the sister.
She came out with the naked boat story.
I know. I mean,
I thought, you know,
that was a me tit story. You know? Yeah. Hey,
Laura House, you guys. Laura House.
Fantastic, Laura.
All right, coming up right now to tell a true 2 minute, true 2 minute story is our champion from last month, Eli Braden. You guys, Eli Braden, put your hands together.
Eli.
Big round of applause. Where is he? Here he comes. Tell him what to do.
Spin that wheel.
Eli, come on now.
Whatever topic I get, I just want to write some erotic fanfic about Laura and Hillary. These two bad girls on the street. They're young and they're looking for trouble. I just want to hear more about them.
Keep your fantasies to yourself, Eli.
Well, look, it's storytelling. Anything goes. Vacation. It's vacation. It's all I ever wanted, for one thing. had to get away. One time on vacation, my parents and I grew up in small town, rural southern Illinois. Our vacations would just basically be like, let's get in the car and let's just drive through Detroit. That's my memory. Like, let's just drive through Detroit. Let's just drive through places. We're not going to stop and pay the fees to go anywhere good, like a museum or a Six Flags or anywhere. We're just going to drive. Here's Detroit. We saw it. You know, went to pretty much every state. I just remember one time in my early days, just to take it back to the masturbation thing. One time, I was probably 12. This is like probably 2 or 3 months after the previous story. So this is chronologically correct to my trajectory tonight. And I just remember I had this, there was this magazine called Cream Magazine in the 80s. It was not related to that cream. It was just called Cream. And it was a music magazine. And there was always pictures of very attractive female rock stars in there. And I just remember one time, as far as I was concerned, my parents had no idea. My parents knew nothing about sex. This whole thing of like with grandpa's vibrator, I mean his massager, they didn't know anything about what I was doing. Like this, I discovered this. This is my territory. And we were driving all day, and then we get to some hotel, some cheap hotel. And as soon as we get to the hotel, I beeline into the bathroom, and I'm like, I gotta go to the bathroom for a while. And I pull out the Cream magazine, and I pull out some photo of some heavy metal vixen. I can't remember who. Probably, I would say Britney Fox, but I think that was actually a band of all males. I know you know 80s. Yeah, it was maybe...
Lita Ford.
Lita Ford. Let's use Lita Ford for those purposes. And I pulled out my little pecker, and I started going to town to this black and white photo of Lita Ford, and I hear a little knock on the door, and I'm like, yes? And it's my mom. She's like, Eli. She's like, I know what you're doing in there. I'm like, what? And I thought for years, I was like, wow, I'm just going to the bathroom. And I was like, there's no way she knows what I'm doing. But now I've realized clearly she knew what I was doing. And I was like, why the fuck does she care anyway? What the fuck, Mom?
Eli Braden. Eli Braden. Danny Zucker.
Wow. I mean, you know, I have a son. And so I hid enough porn magazines under my mattress that was crazy. And it's weird because my son has never brought home a porn magazine. He really is so studious. He just goes into the room, locks the door, and he just has his computer. And it's so great that he's doing his homework.
Yeah.
And I just really am I'm just proud of him that he didn't go
that's
that way.
That's great, Danny.
Yeah.
You know,
I have a son, too. I hide my computer under the mattress, so he has no idea.
Matt?
Do you now refer to masturbating as going to Detroit?
Yes,
I do. I'll be right back, guys. I'm going to go to Detroit. You know,
crossing 8 Mile.
All right, you guys. Eli Braden, put your hands
more
together.
Fantastic, Eli.
Inches.
Yeah. All right, you guys.
I love a good masturbation story. Mm-hmm. I learned how to masturbate from watching Tool Time with Tim Allen.
Oh, wow.
He bought his wife a jacuzzi in an episode, and she goes, the jet streams are so strong, I don't even need my husband.
And that's how you learn.
And I was like, oh, my God.
Good
information. Take a bath. Wow.
Good information.
The more you know.
The final storyteller coming up for round two. Wait, is this the final? No, one more story.
Two more storytellers.
Two more stories.
Right now, we've got coming up to tell a true 2 minute story, Melanie Maris, you guys. Melanie Maris. All right, here she comes. Ooh. Put your hands together, louder. And tell her what to do.
Yeah. Spin that wheel.
The wheel. Right.
Spin the wheel.
She looks like Anne Curry's illegitimate daughter.
I think totally legitimate.
Right?
Yeah.
You think so?
I know. She has an Anne Curry vibe.
Yeah, very Anne Curry. Curry.
I want Matt Food. Lauer to be
you
mean to her.
Ask her.
I want Matt Lauer to fire her
Matt
right now.
Matt Lauer ever raped her.
Yeah.
Food.
Matt Lauer had me over a chair in his office.
Okay, so when I was growing up in Indonesia, as we've already established, there was this Mexican restaurant, and it was called Amigos. And it was the only Mexican restaurant in all of Indonesia. And I grew up super, super sheltered and, like, super... I wasn't allowed out of the house. Like, my dad's Muslim, my mom's Baptist. The only time I was allowed to leave the house was, like, to go to church, to go to school, or I could go to youth group. And at youth group, they would play these videos, like, they were called, like, The Rapture. And then we would, like, eat cookies. But so this girl came to Jakarta, and she was the only black girl in, like, my whole grade. So she was, like, the coolest girl in school. And, like, because she went to my church, I was allowed to sleep over at her house. And her parents were, like, from West Virginia, and they were like, oh, my God, you got this nice friend from church. So, like, they let us go out at night. My parents never let me leave the house at night. So we went to Amigos during happy hour, and... we walk in and there's just like this white powder all over, like, everywhere. And I've never seen Scarface because I wasn't allowed, but I knew what that white powder was. You know, it was cocaine, because everyone knows that you do with cocaine, you go to a Mexican restaurant during happy hour on a Friday in a country that offers you the death penalty for drugs, and you sprinkle it all over your hands and lick it right off. So I was like, be cool. You know, I do cocaine all the time. And so we went to the bar, and somebody gave me a tequila shot. They put cocaine on my hand. I licked it. I did my first shot ever. I was like, Jesus, like, cocaine's really salty. It's terrible. No, it was salt. It's my first drink. Okay.
All right, Melanie Maris, that's adorable. Wow, did you have any cocaine days, Esther?
I did. I had a boyfriend that I moved in with, and I didn't find out he was addicted to coke until after we already had moved in.
How did you not know?
I was just young, dumb, and broke.
Did you do coke with him?
I did, yeah. And then I started selling it, but that's a whole nother podcast.
She had no idea.
Follow me on iTunes, wow. Coup in the Gang.
All right, Matt Oswalt.
I have no cocaine stories. I don't think I've even seen...
Boring.
Have you smelled it?
I've never even seen cocaine.
Oh my God.
Somebody
called
lies. This is
volunteer
for the audience.
I never have, you know?
I'll fucking show you cocaine right now.
As I poke. Yeah.
All right, you guys.
Whip
Melanie Maris.
Right,
put your hands together for Melanie Maris. Yeah.
You mean you'll show him a cocaine dick.
Whoa. All right, you guys. The
always.
Final storyteller coming up to tell a true two-minute story. And this is the last storyteller in the second round. And this is the one and only Brian Finkelstein, you guys. Woo. Brian Finkelstein, put your hands together.
This guy.
Tell him what to do.
Bad wheel.
That was a nice spin.
No more fucking pet stories, Brian. Seriously. Jesus. Holidays.
All right, I'll tell you about the worst Christmas I ever had. I had a lot of problems with some cocaine and some crazy fucking women. So, and I was crazy too. I'm not, being misogynistic when I say that. I mean, they were horrible people. Let's just say that. We don't say their gender. And I swung the other way, and I started dating this girl who was Muslim and from India and never drank and never smoked, and I fell in love with her. And for 4 years, in my 20s, I was platonically in this weird relationship because she was arranged to be married. But we were in love, and we went on dates. We just didn't have sex. And I thought I was going to win her over, and I started to convert to Islam and started, like, wearing... like Shabbat kameez and stuff around New York, which my, like, Jewish family was like, what the fuck are you doing? And started fasting for Ramadan and, like, just getting into a very strange, you know, relationship, because her family liked me and welcomed me, but they were also worried because they knew I was in love with her. And anyway, 4 years later, it was time for her to get married. And so she's like, do you want to come with me? And I was like, no. And she's like, I want you to come. And I was like, okay, because I loved her. And I flew to India on Christmas, but it was because of the time change. So I left New York on December 23rd, and I landed, or December 24th, and I landed in India on December 26th. So Christmas never fucking happened. I went to her wedding, and I watched her marry her first cousin, and was like, why am I here? Like, I was so enthralled with India that I was like, what am I doing? Why am I here? And I had a nervous breakdown, and I went to Nepal and found a shit ton of cocaine and drugs, and had the best 2 weeks of my life after the worst 2 weeks of my life.
Wow, Brian Finkelstein, wow. That was a huge story.
Holy shit.
That was amazing.
I'm like shaking.
Where can we buy your book?
Yeah.
So you went to Nepal and you just like wanted drugs and you found a person that sold you drugs. That's sort of how it worked?
In Kathmandu, yeah.
You didn't have any connections. You just went there and said, hey, you know what? I really feel like getting drugs.
I found this bar and I went up on the roof and they were having this party and there's a bunch of Australians and one American and they were singing Beatles songs. And I was like, do you guys have drugs? And they're like,
that's like the bat signal for like drugs, you know, guys on the roof singing Beatles songs.
Australians are always the ones to, they have everything.
Yeah. It's so true. Australians do have everything and they love rooftops.
They do.
And roofies.
Except, oh my God. Except toilets that go clockwise.
Danny.
I was like, that's, I've been friended before, like without a doubt, but that's like Olympic, like that's gold medal friending.
I committed. Yeah.
You really committed. You broke my heart with that story. You took me on a journey. I'm being honest. It was great. And I just love a Finkelstein observing Ramadan. There's probably nothing better than that. So
when you converted to Islam and you started wearing, I thought you were going to say suicide vests.
All right, you guys.
I'm uncomfortable with that kind of racism.
Brian Finkelstein. Put your hands together for Brian Finkelstein.
Wow.
Okay, you guys, this is when it gets interesting.
He can't even fly a plane. How dare you go there, you
know? This is when our judges are going to have to decide to bring two storytellers back to tell a true three-minute story. And tonight we're doing something a little bit different. You have 1 minute to decide which two people are coming on, and we're going to set a clock to make sure that 1 minute happens. So you guys, ready to decide? Make your minute happen. Go. All right, and I also, as I'm standing here, I want to thank a couple of people here tonight in the audience who are helping me out, including Les Hunter on the clock. Thank you, Les.
You're welcome.
You got to clap for him. That's the idea. And Richard in the back. Richard, thanks on the sound. I appreciate it. And Julie at the bar. Oh, see, now it gets louder. See, because they clap for the bartender. And also Jim Coughlin, who helps me every month. Thank you so much. This episode of Story Smash will be up on the Storyworthy podcast in just a couple of weeks. And you can find that on Apple Podcasts or Spotify or Stitcher, you know, wherever you guys are listening to your podcasts. This is exciting. They're almost ready with two names. And the storyteller is coming up to tell a true three-minute story. So we're looking forward to that. And remember, if they land on audience, then you are participating, yeah?
Yeah.
You're with me? Okay. All right. Oh, look at that. They did it in 53 seconds. He's going to put them names right in there. There's nothing in there. No, nothing in there. All right. Two names are in there right now. And the first storyteller coming up to tell a true three-minute story is the one and only Doug Mand. Doug Mand, you guys. Give him a big round of applause. And tell him what to do.
Spin that wheel.
All right. That's a good spin.
Doug was not my choice. I just want to say that.
I love.
I felt super bullied by Esther.
He already had breakup. He's
I am
spin
North
again.
Korean after all.
Spin again, again.
North.
You're North Korean.
Yeah.
Wow. I had to fight for you, Doug.
Oh my gosh, she's got some sort of magic touch. Oh my
God! How many have you got, Doug? Come on, you got more than one.
If your
Come
wife is here, because this is
pets.
Okay, pets.
Okay, this is gonna bring the house down with tears. This is the fucking saddest story I have.
Top,
so
got a top muffin.
Let's dim the lights for this one. My wife and I had a dog who was the love of our lives, and he, as dogs do, gets sick, and he got cancer, and it was devastating to us. And he got sick while my wife was pregnant. It was fucking wild, because we thought our dog would be alive forever, and we hadn't thought about that possibility. But he got really sick. And as happens with pets, you have to decide at a certain point if you're going to put them down. And our dog got really sick, and I at a certain point, said to my wife, you know, I think that it's time to put Sheldon down. He's not doing so well. And my wife said, Sheldon will tell me when it's time to go. And in true dog fashion, he never actually told my wife, because he doesn't fucking speak. And he got really sick. And so we eventually, I went to see the vet all the time. The vet was like, maybe you should talk to a pet communicator. And I was like, I'll take anything at this point. This doctor has seen me cry so many times with my dog, it's insane. So we called this woman. Her name is Rafaela Pope. She lives in Washington State. And she's like, let's make an appointment for tomorrow. Call me at 12. Have questions ready about the dog. Don't send me a picture of it. We're not going to Skype. We call her at 12. It takes 8 rings to get through. She's like, oh, I'm sorry. I was just eating breakfast. It was 12. And then she's like, we hear her walk up the stairs. And then she's like, oh, I'm sorry. I have butter all over my fingers. Okay. And so my wife and I are... And at this point, our baby is like a month old. We're holding this baby and holding our other baby. And she's like, what would you like to talk to Sheldon about? And we were like, do you want to go or not? And she go, hold on, let me ask him. And then we hear her go, mm-hmm. Oh, mm-hmm. And then she go, ha, 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 ha. And then she come back and goes, Sheldon is great. And then she would give us information. And I knew it was bullshit, but every answer, my wife and I were like, oh my God, you really? Is that what Sheldon said? And we were like, just so much snot, and our fucking baby was crying. And meanwhile, so my wife is like, we're not killing Sheldon yet. And then 2 weeks later, Sheldon gets way worse. And I'm just like, Sheldon's got to go. And she's like, I'm calling Rafaela Pope. Meanwhile, Rafaela had told us 2 weeks ago to put Sheldon down. So this time, I was like, I'm not doing this call with you. She does the call. She comes back in. She goes, Sheldon's got to go. He's got to go now. I hear the story later is that my wife's like, does Sheldon want to go? And in that moment, so Rafaela goes, hold on, let me ask him. And Sheldon at this point is just licking his own dick furiously. And then she says, hold on, let me ask him. And he looks up. And then when she comes back, he goes back to licking his dick, which my wife takes as a sign that she had really spoken to him. And she said, he wants to go and he wants to go today. My wife comes in, tears coming down. She's like, we have to put Sheldon down today. So after weeks of begging my wife, she agreed to put him down after Rafaela Pope told us to.
Doug Mann, you guys. Wow. So the dog.
Yeah.
What happened, Matt?
Doug, I got to tell you, I totally respect the fact that you got to the improv around 2 in the afternoon and arranged with a lighting guy to dim the lights during your dead dog story. That was the coolest thing ever. Did everybody notice that, how the lights dimmed?
I asked him to.
That was awesome, dude. Van Halen on their best day could not have a lighting performance as good as that.
Danny Zucker.
Very depressing, by the way. So good.
Look, I'm really sorry about the dog. I've been there.
Yeah.
It's terrible. That said, your story is the reason why the rest of the country hates California.
Don't give a fuck.
I know, I don't either.
And I hate the rest of the country.
I'm with you. They are flyover. They're garbage people. But I know that sounds elitist, but it's not elitist if you're actually better than everybody. Yeah. So, there you go.
I felt sorry Tell for Trump. Your dog, but I also felt more sorry that your wife wears the pants in a relationship. And she sounds like you. It sounds like you got deep-seated mommy issues. Does she dress you as well?
I do. Wow. my wife is
badass. I recognize this jacket like I'm from in a Paddington
stuffed
animal.
I'm on a stand-up stage in 1998, so it's fantastic.
All right, you guys. Doug Mann, give him a hand. That was a great story. That was a lot of fun.
We're judging the stories, not their lives, okay? Oh. Remember that, okay? The stories.
Okay, I didn't read the email. Sorry.
All their decisions and all their...
All right, you guys, the final storyteller coming up tonight to tell a true 3-minute story is Brian Finkelstein, you guys.
Woo!
Brian
Finkelstein.
Man. Put your hands together. Brian Finkelstein. Here he comes. Let him know what to do, you guys.
I fought for you. I fought for you, Brian.
That wheel.
Come on.
I fought for you, Brian. I fought for Doug.
See, you got both of us.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's really forceful.
I just said, that's it. Exactly. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
Oh, no.
This is exciting, you guys. Brian has landed on audience. So once again, it's your choice out there. What do you guys want to hear?
Stay away from pets.
Stay away from pets.
Stay away from the dogs.
And Muslims.
What do you want to hear?
Music.
Theft.
That
is pretty good.
Like shoes. That.
Virginity.
Sex. Hospitals.
Death.
Jesus. What do you think?
I like theft because it's like everyone has a good like...
Theft.
Something. It's kind of a cool little... Death is too vague. Like, it's just too big. It's too,
by the way, this is what we had to deal with when we were picking
the finals.
Saying?
Sorry,
he's
yo.
Just so pushy.
Let me get my thesaurus out and we'll give you one of the options. Okay,
all right, you guys.
In my car
theft. The story is theft.
Well, I could talk about how I'm a thief, but I'm just a small. I shoplift for justice, so I'll steal from Starbucks if the line's too long. Like, I'll steal a French press, even though I don't need a French press, just to sort of. But that's not a story. So I'll tell you about my uncle Jimmy, who's a thief and a murderer. I don't know if he was a murderer. He was never convicted, but he was in prison most of his life for robbing a bowling alley, and stabbing his girlfriend in the neck. But she lived. But he apparently killed a few people. Anyway, I never met this guy. He's like I'm half Jewish, but he's on the Irish side, and he has an Aryan. He came out of prison. He had an Aryan tattoo. Like he's a Nazi, and he moved in with my grandmother, who I used to live with, and my grandmother kicked me out. Because she thought he would be a better roommate than me. Like, she asked me to move because it's a prodigal son. So she's like, I want the Nazi to come back home. And I'm like, and so I would go over there and she'd be like, things were missing all the time. And I'd be like, yeah, Jimmy stole them. You know, he's a Nazi thief. Like, you have a Nazi thief in your house. Like, when shit goes missing, it's not a mystery. But don't ever ask him about it. And then there were things like where he was so like machismo, but he was in prison a long time, and he would like, this is back when you'd get like phone bills and you could see like paper phone bills and it was a house phone, and there was like 976 numbers, and she's like, were these you when you lived here? I was like, no. And so we called them and it was like gay con, you know, thing. I was like, don't ever fucking confront him on that. He'll kill you. Just fucking, your jewelry's gone. I want to say he stole jewelry from my grandmother, but she also hid her jewelry in the chandelier. My grandmother was like this tall, and the chandelier was like about everyone's eye level. So when you walked in, you would just see diamonds, and she'd be like, that. She didn't think anyone knew, but that's why. So, but one time, the worst experience I had with him was we were going up to Thanksgiving at my mom's house. She lived upstate New York. We were in the city, and he was driving this big Cadillac that just showed up one day. And he was drinking. He had like a half a bottle of peppermint schnapps, which was his drink, and he was drinking it. And my grandmother was like, "He can't drink and drive. We shouldn't drink this. So we shouldn't let him. So we have to drink it." So this is my grandmother's fucking stupid logic. She's fucking 89 in the story. And so her and I drink half a bottle of schnapps on the way up there, and then he pulls out another bottle, and so we try to finish it. We try to like share it with him, but he was drinking too. So we all just showed up at my mother's house, like Thanksgiving, completely fucking shit faced. And we got in the car at the end of the night, and my mother's encyclopedia, she had Encyclopedia Britannica, you know, like the books that people used to read and look things up, and he stole them from my mother. So we got in this, and we didn't know, like we ate the whole meal, like we didn't see him do anything, he went outside to smoke, but we got in the car, the Cadillac, at the end of the night to go back to the city, and I got in the back seat, my grandmother got in the front, Jimmy, and in the back seat was my mother's entire, like, fucking 15 volumes of encyclopedias, and I was like, what the fuck? He's like, I wanted them. And then we drove back to the city.
Wow. Brian Finkelstein, look at the time. Wow. Look at that time. That was a perfect story. How about
is
that?
Is Uncle Jimmy here? Can you point him out? Hi, Jimmy, are you here?
He's dead now.
Oh. Yeah.
What a loss.
So did he die in prison, or did he die?
No, he died. We called the cops because he died of... he was a drunk, and he had a gun in the house, and we were worried he was going to die because he's got...
Of a broken heart.
So we called the police to say like he had a gun, to think that they would drag him back to prison so he could die there. Wow. So because my grandmother wouldn't do anything about it. And when we called the police, like they closed the street and there were SWATs and hell. It was horrible. It was like in the Daily News. It was a big... Anyway.
Wow.
Did why not the Post?
Yeah.
Wow.
At his funeral, were his sleeves rolled up for the Aryan to show off the Aryan tattoos? Or
no, it was
you cover
right here.
Them?
It was
oh,
here.
Wow. That's nice. Yeah.
It's tasteful.
Just like Danny's.
Yeah, he wasn't gaudy.
It wasn't he didn't Manson it.
He wasn't a Manson. Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, it's just a normal Nazi.
It was amazing because that story was about eight things. Like, if I had to sum it up, it would be very hard because it was like, I mean, it was about your uncle, but then it turned into Thanksgiving and schnapps. And also, I don't know. And I've never heard a story with schnapps.
Schnapps would come up.
I never heard a story with schnapps that didn't involve like 16-year-olds. Like, I didn't know adults actually.
Or like a wedding reception.
Yeah, no, but it was always like that was the drink of choice.
Yeah.
For peppermint schnapps, we're going to be adults. I'm gonna throw up this entire Doobie Brothers concert.
He was in prison a long time. He probably had arrested development. That's probably the drink he drank.
Oh, right. That makes sense.
That totally makes sense.
That makes sense.
Okay. All right, you guys. Brian Finkelstein, give him a hand.
They make bathtub schnapps.
Great story. Amazing story. All right, you guys. This is
Tic Tac and throw it in there for
This is when it really gets down to it. And these guys are going to have to choose right now one of those perfect stories to be the winner tonight. We're going to put 1 minute on the clock. They've got a minute to decide. You guys can work on that.
Wow, this is such a
Here they
hard
go.
Decision.
The winner
tonight,
such a
not hard decision.
By the way,
simple.
Receives my chocolate chip cookies. How about that? You're not clapping because you haven't tasted them. Wait till you see. You'll see. And we're going to be back here. Thank you so much, Richard. We're going to be back here in June on June 23rd, so we hope you guys will come back. Tickets are on sale now, in fact. And I want to give one more round of applause to all the storytellers tonight. Please give it up for Laura House, Melanie Maris, Eli Braden, Brian Finkelstein, and of course, Doug Mand. And let's give a big round of applause to Danny Zucker and Esther Koo and Matt Oswalt. And also, I want a big round of applause to my co-producer, John Cohen, because without him, this wouldn't be happening. Thank you, John Cohen. I've been doing this show for like almost 7 years, but just in the last year, it's really picked up, and that's because of John Cohen. So thank you, John.
We've reached a conclusion.
Seem that you have. Now, was it a difficult decision?
Not at all.
Oh. Not at all.
I was saying,
we would like to deliberate for 12 more hours, if that's okay with you guys. You don't have anything to do, right?
Having done this 5 times, I mean, whatever. It's not a big deal. Thank you for that, by the way.
To quote the OJ juror, I got to go home. That's what she said. She literally said, I got to go home.
I thought this was the hardest decision I've had to make.
Is that right? Okay.
In the last hour.
Yeah, ever.
Yeah,
really.
All right. And Esther, what did you think?
I enjoyed the whole show, and the storytellers were great. I was at the edge of my seats on most of the stories, and I think the winner... it's well-deserved.
All right, you guys. So here we go. The winner of tonight's Story Smash. You guys tell me all together. Let me hear it.
Brian Finkelstein.
Brian Finkelstein. You guys, give it up for Brian Finkelstein. One more time for Danny Zucker, Esther Koo, Matt Oswalt. My name is Christine Blackburn. Good night.
Good night.
Thank you.